Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. In this week's conversation with my friend Robert Holden, we've been talking about life-work balance. And today we talk about how our bank balance impacts our life-work balance. I think you're going to enjoy this.
So there is a huge part of life-work balance, I'm assuming for most people, which is to do with money. So you know, you talk about coaching, you know, I only want this many clients, and you know, and we both talk about writing. Well, you know, sometimes it's good not to write a book. And yet I can imagine there are a number of people going, well, that would be great, but you know, somebody's got to pay for yoga class.
Yes.
You know, somebody's got to pay for
the wine.
So it's got to pay to have, you know, a family. And so how have you found, both as a coach in terms of your clients, you know, because we both coach a lot of executives, you know, so people who are playing the game in at the high end, but also for yourself, that balance of, I know that my ideal rhythm is coaching twice a week, is writing one book a year instead of four, is this, is that. But my bank balance, see what I did there? Just cut the word, thanks.
Nice.
My bank work balance is, that needs to be taken into account as well.
Yeah. Well,
discuss.
For me, the key to that is to know how much money is enough. Hmm. That's where my balance comes from. The tendency I have noticed in my conditioned self and in the sociology that I'm surrounded by is to maximize my income. Mm-hmm. And I found that my income would indeed maximize. It would indeed increase, but often as a new year came in, I felt an extraordinary pressure to then increase the amount on last year.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, like, I'm like stressed because I did so well last year. And I'm now like scrabbling around thinking, how can I get a fast start to the year? How could I get maybe 40% of this year's income in the first 3 months, then I could relax a bit. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm starting to like play all of these strategies through in my head about how this can happen and how I'm going to have to make it happen. And it was only really when I properly sat down to consider how much money is enough that I think I began to create more of a healthier life-work balance around, you know, around the money thing. If there was one other bit in there, it would probably be that as important as it is to recognize how much money is enough, I think the other really important thing to do is to remember what money can't buy. And I actually think the more you keep your eye on what money can't buy, the healthier a relationship you will have to money.
There's a story that I've always loved about that Kurt Vonnegut told about Joseph Heller, the writer of Catch 22, among other things. And the two of them apparently went to a party given by a billionaire on Shelter Island. And Kurt Vonnegut said to Joseph Heller, "Joe, how does it make you feel to know that our host only yesterday may have made more money than your novel Catch 22 has earned in its entire history?" And Joe said, "Well, I've got something he can never have." And Kurt Vonnegut said, "Well, what on earth could that be, Joe?" And Joe said, "The knowledge that I've got enough."
Hmm.
And I think that's such an interesting notion, because enough may or may not be a number.
Hmm.
So how do you define enough in relation to, you know, I mean, you know, specifically in relation to money, though I think it's an interesting thing to explore in relation to everything.
I do my numbers. I have my household accounts. I have a sense of what needs to happen. What I would do is I would back up a minute and say that I think one of the reasons why we, most of us, cannot have a life-work balance in today's society is because most of our societies today run a debt economy. And for me, debt economies are wholly unnecessary, of course, in first world countries. They're completely unnecessary. Mm. We don't need them as such. They clearly work for some people, but obviously don't work for enough people. I would suggest that Brexit and the recent US presidential campaign was in many ways fought around the carnage of debt economies and so many people feeling like they are losers and that they don't have enough. But so just to say early on, Michael, I did my very best to not be in debt. And that meant not having credit cards and paying with cash for things. Even when I had a debit card, I would just pay for it physically, partly because I enjoyed whatever I paid for more afterwards. You know, it was like, wow, that's like a real thing I just bought. But I really did do that. And in fact, I remember a bank manager coming around to see me when I was 28 or something and asking me for my debts. And the only debt was a mortgage. And it wasn't a very big mortgage, but he just kept asking, but what else? Where are your other debts? And I said, well, really, that's it. And, you know, he had all of these boxes to tick off. And he said, honestly, and I just remember him saying it. He said, you are by no means, you have by no means, you know, the greatest amount of money of my clients that I work with. But I would have to say, I think you might be the wealthiest. And it was a remarkable thing just to hear that from him.
Yeah.
But there was something in it. So I have done my very best because I love writing and because I love the art of what I do. I protect the art of what I do by not being in debt, which means I live within my means, which means that... For people in my peer group, I'm perhaps not as flashy as I could be. You know, I could have more sparkles and more sequins and everything else, but I don't do that because I'm protecting that space for my art, for my spirituality, for my creativity. That means more to me than the shiny things. So that's a good bit. And then from there, you know, not therefore being in debt in that way, I can then think about what's enough. And what's enough, you know, I've got a pretty good idea about. And the other thing that I have got up my sleeve, which you've got up your sleeve, which is, which I think, by the way, is perhaps a reward for the bravery of being self-employed, which is that you can at any moment increase your income. Mm. It doesn't take too much to make a concerted effort somewhere and offer a new expression to the world and say, would anybody be interested? So there is that too. And I think that's a very wonderful thing.
Robert has a number of books I really like, and particularly relevant to today's conversation is his book, Success Intelligence. You can find out more about that and everything else that Robert has written and what he's up to at his website at robertholden.org. Tomorrow we continue the conversation and we take a look at the relationship between the present, the future, and life-work balance. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and we'll talk to you soon.